Devasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram cheva narutamam. Devin sarasati vyasad. Tattu jaya mudirayet. Nastapayesa badresu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttamas loke. Bhakti bhava iti naistiki. So Srimad Bhagavatam, continuation of chapter, account of 8, chapter 24, text, today's text is from 59, a series of texts, also don't have a concluding text for this very chapter, 59, 60, and then 61 has a purpose. So we do 59 together. Satya vrata sya rajasa. Maya matsya sya sangjina. Samvatam maharakyanam. Srutva mucheta kilbisat. Satya vartasya rajasa. Maya matsyasya sanjina. Samvadam maharakyanam. Srutva mucheta kilbisat. Satya vratasya rajasa. Maya matsyasya sangina. Samvadam maharakyanam. Srutva mucheta kilbisat. Chant. Matajis. Satyavratasya, of King Satyavrata, Rajarishe, of the great king, Maya Matsyasya. And the fish incarnation. Sanginaha, who had one horn on his head. Samvadam, the description or dealings. Mahat Akyanam, the great story. Sutra, by hearing. Mucheta, is delivered. Kilbisat, from all sinful reactions. So translation, by His Divine Grace, Confounded Acharya. Srila Bhajan Navinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kiji. Srila Prabhupada Kiji. This story concerning the great king Satyavrata and the fish incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is a great transcendental narration. Anyone who hears it is delivered from the reactions of sinful life. Can we respond or repeat? This story concerning the great king Satyavrata and the fish incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is a great transcendental narration. Anyone who hears it is delivered from the reactions of sinful life. So there is no purport. I will read text 60. Avataram hareyoyam kitayet avaham narha sankalpastasya sidyanti sa yati paramam gatim. Please kindly respond to repeat the translation. One who narrates this description of the Matsya incarnation and King Satyavrata will certainly have all his ambitions fulfilled. And he will undoubtedly return home back to Godhead. Again, there's no translate, there's no purport, so I go to the next text, 61. Pralaya paya siddhatu subta sakta mukebhya shruti ghanam apanitam pratyupadat tahatva titijam akathayadyo brahmasatyavatanam taham akilahitu jimaminam natusmi. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who pretended to be a gigantic fish, who restored the Vedic literature to Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma awakened from sleep, and who explained the essence of Vedic literature to King Satyavrata and the great Sinli Possums. Please kindly respond. Repeat. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who pretended to be a gigantic fish, who restored the Vedic literature to Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma awakened from sleep, and who explained the essence of Vedic literature to King Satyavrata and the great saintly persons. So let us listen to the purport of Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Here is a summary of Satyavrata's meeting with the fish incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu's purpose was to take back all the Vedic literatures from the demon Hayagriva and restore them to Lord Brahma. Incidentally, by his causeless mercy, the Lord spoke with Satyavrata. The word Satyavratanam is significant because it indicates that those on the level of Satyavrata can take knowledge from the Vedas delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever is spoken by the Supreme Lord is accepted as Veda. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Creed Veda Vid. What text is that? 15:15. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the compiler of all Vedic knowledge, and He knows the purport of the Vedas. Therefore, anyone who takes knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or from Bhagavad Gita as it is, knows the purpose of the Vedas. Vedai sutsava aham evavidya. One cannot understand Vedic knowledge from the Vedavada ratas who read the Vedas and misconstrue their subject matter. One has to know the Vedas from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 8th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. There's a footnote here. This commentation has been finished in our New Delhi center today, the 1st of September 1976, the day of Radhastami. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Acharyas. Shrinautam Das Thakur says, Tandera charana sevi bhakti sanivas janama janame janame haya e abilas. I am attempting to present Srimad Bhagavatam in English language by the order of my spiritual master, Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And by His grace, the work of translation is gradually progressing. And the European and American devotees who have joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement are helping me considerably. Thus, we have expectations of finishing the great task before my passing away. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyana Timirana Siyangina Jana Salakaya Saksura Militam Jena Tismai Si Guru Venamaha Sachetanya Manam Vistam Stafitam Jena Bhutali Swayam Rupam Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandese Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Suhoditu Gududhaya Puspavantu Chita Chandutamon Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutali Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swamitinamaya Namaste, Saraswati Deva, Gauravani, Pacharini, Nivisinsa, Sunyavadi, Apachatya, Visitari. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangim Lagatim Kripatam Hambambi, Si Gurum Dintari. Jaya Si Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Si Advaita, Gadara, Si Vasari, Guru Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, we tend to do the things pretty snappy because, you know, everyone is eagerly waiting to go to Laguna Beach. So this is the concluding part of this very narration, and this is sometimes the devotees don't really seem to appreciate in depth about what we have. But just like it is mentioned here, that by hearing or by sharing this narration of the transcendental activities or the pastimes of Lord Vishnu in the form of a fish incarnation, by sharing this narration, we will become free from sinful reactions. In other words, this is the same thing as surrendering to Krishna. Because Krishna said in the Gita, you have to give up everything and just surrender unto me. And I will free you from all sinful reactions. The same purpose is met here by hearing the narration of this very wonderful pastimes of Lord Vishnu in the form of Matsya. Now, what is a narration? See, sometimes, you know, these things, they look very simple, but narration itself is a strategy of uncovering truths. Like, if those who are in the social sciences, you know, there are different strategies of developing your research. And narration is one of them. So, for someone, for instance, if you're someone who's scholarly religious studies, you can actually write your thesis on the Matsya incarnation, because this is a strategy itself. And so if we look at it from the devotional perspective, again, it's so outstanding that by listening to this narration or by sharing this narration, one becomes free from sinful activities. I mean, sinful reactions. So what is the difficulty in just listening to this narration? What is the difficulty? Oh yeah. A Prabhupada is not saying she'll even give up anything. But by listening to this narration. But then, the very undercurrent in this, or the very essence of the listening, is that one has to listen with rapt attention and with, you know, firm faith. Because even now, it's mentioned here that by listening to this narration, we become free from sinful reaction. Now, how many of us believe even that? How many of us even believe in that? Because we're thinking, some of us will be thinking, is it so cheap? Is it so cheap to be free from sinful reactions? I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I'm still suffering. Just to listen to this narration, I'll be free from sinful reactions. Yes, so we have a problem, and that problem is that we don't have deep faith in Krishna. We don't have deep faith. So, we have to be able to figure out ways to develop deep faith. Because if we do develop deep faith, we develop great Shraddha. I mean, our lives will just completely be transformed overnight. Overnight. I mean, you can send a mail to anywhere in the U.S. It's just a matter of paying the money. And you tell the postmaster, I want it to overnight mail. Huh? She'll get to the person the next day. Oh yeah. We could become completely transformed overnight. And, you know, we do have a problem. And that is that we don't have deep faith in the instructions of Lord Krishna. Our belief is not very strong. And that is also due to intrinsic and extrinsic factors. So the whole process of devotional service is to be able to recuperate ourselves from this disease of lack of faith. It's to recuperate from the disease of, you know, really developing deep faith in Krishna. That is hindering our progress. That is creating a big delay on the journey. Lack of sufficient faith is causing us so much stagnation. And therefore, what basically we need to do, whether we have faith or not, we should come to listen to the Bhagavatam. Whether we have faith or not, we should chant Hare Krishna. Whether we have faith or not, we should simply take only prasadam. Don't eat pizza outside. Don't be attracted to the pizza outside, Because these things contaminate the consciousness, they contaminate the intelligence. And therefore, it is so important to reflect on the legacy of Srila Prabhupada. He's written all of these wonderful purports to reassure us that, yes, if you stay in my movement and you do seva, you don't break the four regulative principles, I will take you back home, back to Godhead. You see? You see, trying to go back to Godhead is not by an individual's strenuous effort. I mean, it's like if you want to go to London, how are you going to go to London? First, you don't have a ship. You don't even a Jaladuta. If you say you want to use Jaladuta, you don't have a Jaladuta. If you want to fly, you don't have an aircraft. Is there some devotee who has some, you know, airlines? They work in airlines and they've not gotten one yet. So you can't say, well, I have a godbrother, I have a brother, I have a devotee who is just going to fly me. We have to depend on some external factors. And so, the point is that we do depend on some external factors to be able to move on in our Krishna consciousness. But internalizing our relationship with each other is a one basic tool to revitalize our Krishna consciousness with such a high speed of progress. Even the faith that we are yearning for, the faith that we are looking for to be able to make progress in our Krishna consciousness, could just automatically, boom, come from within when we avoid offenses to other devotees. So in a big community like this, you have all of the assets to be able to attract the whole world. Who will come to this temple, this community, and will not be attracted to Krishna consciousness? I have one Nigerian professor. He comes to conferences in the East Coast. But you know what? Each time he comes, he finishes his conference, he doesn't stay in New York temple. He comes all the way to the Los Angeles temple. He's been here about twice or thrice. I was speaking with Bhakta Vatsala. He said, oh, I know him. So people are attracted to come when we are creating that type of conducive atmosphere. And so we should just continue with that type of good ambassadorship. Because the devotees are like ambassadors for Srila Prabhupada, or ambassadors of the spiritual world. And therefore, the whole of these narrations, they are meant to be able to help us to reinvent our future. Who is not tired of living in the material world? Even the richest man, even Bill Gates, has problems. But the issue is, they are not exposed. Even the richest person is not exposed to the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will help to speed up mitigating the sinful reactions. Nasta prayesu avadresu. And it's not that, okay, I'm on leave today. I finished the work. Okay, I have leave for 2 weeks. Krishna consciousness, there is no leave. And so the Bhagavatam says, this process of hearing the Bhagavatam is an internal Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And the more you're doing this, you listen to these narrations, if even granted that we don't even have deep faith, we see the cleansing is taking place. A cleansing of the dirty, of the debts on the mirror of the heart, the mirror of the mind. Is going on by just making our presence felt in the Bhagavatam, by making our presence felt in the Mangal Rati, by making our presence felt before the deities. We undergo some type of purification that we can't even imagine. And it takes, it may be slow, but surely it does go on. And therefore, the whole of this narrations, whether if Krishna comes or Vishnu comes as a Matsya,
Or he comes as Lord Rishingadev, whatever incarnation. The purpose is, it's just wanting enlightenment and to create an avenue where we can really eternalize our loving relationship with the Lord. And how can we say we're internalizing our relationship with the Lord if we don't love His paths and parcels? Yeah. So these are some of the backlogs that we have to look into to be able to, work on them. And then this assurance here could really become something that we'll appreciate. Otherwise, because we have so much a backlog of anattas, and even the Prabhupada gives an assurance here, or the Bhagavatam itself gives an assurance here, but those deaths on the mirror of the heart will not allow us to experience the reflection of our faces properly. And therefore, we have to be able to see how we're caring. We're taking some recourse to really becoming adept listeners or adept hearers. And also to become compassionate preachers. See, I'm sitting here sharing, but it's not that I know better than Prabhupada's disciples who are here, or even I know better than these young devotees here. It's a chance given to me to do some favor. This should be our understanding. Whatever that we have been asked to do, it should be that we are doing this as a service to Srila Prabhupada, as service to the devotees, as service to the community of devotees. Because the general tendency is to sidetrack what basically is the main intention or the purpose of a service. And so even just to be able to sit on the asana, that is one of the greatest services. So if we are asked to do that, it means that we have been asked to do one of the greatest services. Why? Because we are directly representing Srila Vyasadeva. And based on one's level of surrender, one is going to be used as a transparent via medium to be able to send messages that will revamp individuals' Krishna consciousness. It's not about scholarship. It's about devotion. And so, the glories of the Lord, but Krishna mentions in the Gita, Janma karma chametivyam evam yo vetti tattvataha. We have to understand these narrations in truth. Being a gigantic fish means what? We have to understand this in essence. And when he came, what did he do? Again, we have to understand that in essence. Then we can internalize these very wonderful pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, if we just take it like an ordinary story, we'll tell the story and then it's all finished. There is no implication to our everyday reality. Then it becomes something that we have to tell the story over and over again and again to be able to derive some substance from it. So, the narrations of the Lord are meant to revitalize our Krishna consciousness. And whether we are describing it or whether we are hearing it, the same benefit is there. The point is, we should become participants. And Prabhupada, each time he finishes his class, in most cases he will tell, especially when he was in the West, he will say, "Oh, thank you very much for participating in this Krishna consciousness." The participation is what is important, because the participation brings about all good qualities with time. So the Master Incarnation is one of those wonderful pastimes of the Lord to demonstrate His extreme mercy and the whole idea of leveraging society, creating awareness, and of course protecting the devotees. So if we reflect on Krishna's very presence in our lives and in the lives of others, that will engender a better loving relationship. That will engender a better community-oriented relationship. Because all of these stories are meant to help us to come closer to Krishna. And we can't say we neglect those people around us. Krishna's paths and parcels. Krishna is not without Himself. He is always with His devotees. In fact, Lord Chaitanya and His devotees are His weapons. And therefore, the Master Incarnation has appeared. We concluded this part of the story today. We are hearing the benefits of just hearing or describing this wonderful pastime of the Lord. And so we have to process this and imbibe it and try to live it in relationship to our community building. Hare Krishna. 5 more minutes. Any comments? So, any comments or questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna. I'm wondering if you can speak on how sometimes in an attempt to cultivate humility, we can focus on our faults and how that might hinder us from trying to do, as you say, develop deep faith that Krishna will rid us of all of our sinful reactions.
Humility and having so low self-esteem, they are two different things. Sometimes devotees, they embark on low self-esteem, and that is very destructive. So humility means, I understand that I'm Krishna's paths and parcels, I'm supposed to serve Krishna, everyone else is Krishna's paths and parcels, and I'm supposed to honor them as such. So, again, humility means I'm a spirit soul, I'm so small, I'm so teeny, infinitesimal, 1/10,000 on the tip of the air. Where is that in the universe? Nothing. But it doesn't mean that we denigrate ourselves and we begin to imbibe low self-esteem. Sometimes we try to imitate the acharyas. Oh, I'm just a worm in the stool and all those type of stuff. But again, if we begin to say, make those statements outside in the office and all those things, people, they won't understand. They won't understand even what you're talking about. Yes, so we don't have to denigrate ourselves. We should see ourselves as part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna mentions Mama Evanso, Jiva Loki, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are part and parcel of Krishna because we are so small, we cannot become Krishna. We cannot become Krishna. Even at the time of liberation, we don't become one with Krishna. This is the problem with the impersonalists. Yeah, so it's a nice point to raise. If we see ourselves as part and parcel of Krishna, we should use our resources in Krishna's service. We should use our body. This body is one of the greatest resources Krishna has given to the spirit soul. So we use it in service of Krishna. We should not torture, we should not destroy this body. We should not destroy this body. That's not being humble. Huh? So, if we understand this body is meant for Krishna's service, we'll take good care of the body. But we should not worship the body. We should not worship the body. We should not destroy the body. We should not offer puja to the body.
We should have a puja to Krishna. Yeah? Does it make some sense? All right. So it's time. Thank you very much for sacrificing your... Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. Sometimes we're trying in our Krishna consciousness, you know, to have faith and, you know, and hope and pray and to try to help our, you know, ourselves, our family members. And you were saying, you know, they just feel like giving up. You're exhausted. You're, you know, premium gasoline. And you're just running real low. How do you go on? I mean, it's just very difficult sometimes to... you know, try to bring the essence of our family members, and it just becomes very discouraged sometimes.
Because we love our families, so if they are not living up to our expectation, the tendency is to be weary, to be worried, and sometimes even just to give up. I remember my friend, I always make reference to this lady, my friend in DC, so she's a bank manager. We used to talk on the phone. So she called me one day, we were talking. And then she said, "All right, I just have to dump these people. I'll dump them." I said, "Dump who?" She's referring to her parents. She's been trying to cultivate her parents. Yeah, a little bit. You know, not catching up or being adamant. So again, the family problems. So I said, "Look, just because you're a devotee and your parents are hesitant to follow in your footsteps promptly, now you want to abandon them. What is that?" I said, "This is the time you should show the love, unconditional love. If somebody does not cooperate with you, it doesn't mean I should abandon a person. You should demonstrate to the person that, look, if you do, although you don't cooperate with me, I love you." So that gives the person a source of motivation and inspiration. I tell a story. I have a friend in Delhi. She was working with Nokia. So she was trying to cultivate her dad. Okay? The dad already started coming to temple. And he already started chanting like some few rounds. But one day, you know, we were talking on the phone. So I asked, "How is your dad?" She said, "That man, I've not even spoken with him for about 3 days now." I said, "What happened?" He said, "He offended me." I said, "Tell me, what is the offense?" She said, she went out, I think to work or to temple or whatever. When she came back, there was a garland on Sunday. She got a garland from the temple, so she left in her room. She's living with the parents there. She left it in her room. And so the father was doing some cleaning. She went into her room and threw off the garland. So she came back, you know, and she was so furious. So she like, you know, didn't speak to the dad for like, you know, that was the third day. So she was mentioned to me that, you know, this is what he did. I said, "So you were angry because your father did something he did not even know that it was wrong. He had good intentions. Come to your, he's cleaning the house. He comes also to your room to clean the room. Now, you have to demonstrate to your dad that, look, I have higher qualities. Not that because he so-called hurt you, and now you're creating some enmity with him." So I said, "You know what? When we finish this telephone discussion, call your dad and beg him that you have overreacted, that you are sorry." She said, "What?" "He offended me." I said, "Yes, he offended you, but you have to demonstrate that you have divine qualities." And then she said, "Maharaj, because of you." I said, "It's all right, go do it." I said, "But when you do it, you will see the transformation in that man." Because this is something he was not expecting. He knows his child. He knows his daughter. The character of the girl, manners and everything. So then, I said, and when you finish, you call me back and tell me that you have done that. So then, you know, a few minutes later, she called me back to say that she's done it. She's called him up and then apologized. And, you know, that the father was just too surprised. And so now the father chants 16 rounds. She is even more serious than the girl now. So, your family members could be a headache sometimes, but we should not give up. We should devise different approaches. Like, okay, for instance, you have family, maybe in San Diego, you were here, and you've been trying to preach to them. They're not been aligning with what you're saying. What do? You abandon them? No. This is the time you have to do more. So some people, they wouldn't even like to chant. They wouldn't read the books and all this. But a number of people, they like food.
I'm dealing with a young 22-year-old.
22-year-old, yes. So if your son is not cooperating, for instance, there are certain situations. And I've dealt with cases like that. I know a case in India. One lady came to me, I went for a program. She came to me, elderly lady. She said, what to do about this, my 25 years old son? And blah, 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 he's not doing this, he's not doing this, he's not cooperating, he's very antagonistic. So I just, because I had time, so I just spoke with her. And she told me some details. I said, you know what, you're wrong. Go and beg your child. You know, it was heavy on her. She never expected that. But eventually she did it. And when I came back to that area for another program the next year when I visited Delhi, this lady came to greet me. I've forgotten. I meet so many people, so I've forgotten. So she came. So I said, where did you, have we met before? Then she gave me, so she reflected. I mean, she told me how she had come to me the other time when I visited and told me some challenges she was facing at home with his son. That, you know, she did accordingly, and now the boy is, you know, very much, in love again. Okay? So, if a child is not cooperating, for instance, sometimes we push too hard on them in the early stages. A child attains, for instance, if a child has attained 12 up, a parent must adjust their pattern of dealing with the child. Because at that time, the child has attained puberty. The reasoning is different. Now, one way you can deal with such kids, and I've seen a number of kids like that all over the world, they don't cooperate with their parents. No. One of the reasons is that their parents don't know how to deal with the kids. They treat 11, 12 years, 13, 14 years old child, as if they are dealing with a 5 years old child. And the kids don't like it. And if the parents don't understand, it could brew up and turn to some, you know, a protracted or long time non-cooperation in the family. So, I mean, like, I was in Ivan. Like when I went during the Ram Navami. So in the family, young family, I was in their home. They had a 17 years old child. The boy was even going to temple every time when he was smaller. But now, no way. So they told me, father was in anxiety, mom was in anxiety. And the fear was that they have another child, about 8 years old. And the 8 years old daughter and this and the brother, they're like this. Very close. They, if you go to that home, you will see, wow, these people, they love themselves. So the dad was even afraid that, see, the love we're supposed to share with them, they are sharing it among themselves. So it's sometimes the way we deal with the child in their early stage of teenage life. They don't, it doesn't go well with them, and we didn't rectify ourselves, and then it keeps on, you know, going on like that. So what I did with that boy was just to create some friendship with him, the boy in Ivan. So I created some friendship. We became friends on Facebook, and so we're talking also on texting. And he was expecting me to call him, but you know, because of my travels, I have not been able to do that. So there's a way to be able to deal with such situations. You have to restore the relationship with love. But in most cases, it's so difficult because the scar is there. And sometimes it's some external person who has to do the job. So if you have like some devotee in the community or whom you're very familiar or close with, you should create a relationship with the boy, and gradually he could be helped. I've dealt with a number of cases like that. Just too many cases. And as I travel, I see all these cases, and sometimes these parents, they don't really understand why the child has to act in the way they've been acting. Yeah. I'm still around. Maybe we can talk on that later. Okay? But, you know, one thing, a general principle, is that when your child is attaining puberty, change the gear. Huh? Change the gear. Integrate deep love, deep friendship, deep caring with the parenting. Deep caring, deep love, deep friendship, plus the official position as a parent. If you do this, if even they have challenges outside, they will tell you. If they don't experience their love, a deep rapport, they will not tell you anything. Because the teenage child, wants relationship, wants to share. And if that is not there in the family, you are risking that child having to jeopardize his or her life. So the parents must change the gear. You should no longer be on gear one. Okay? Shala Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.
They want you to come back from your talk.